We continually habitually proclaim Christ, and that proclamation takes place in the context of admonishing and teaching with all wisdom. So some people proclaim Christ, but they never teach the word. They don't proclaim him the way he has ordained he is to be proclaimed. They just say his name, and then they do their own thing.
Welcome to this Tuesday edition of Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt, pastor of Equipping Bible Church in Greer, South Carolina. And today is Letter Day, where we have a chance to hear what our listeners are saying about Equipping the Saints.
And Dave, I have a phone comment from Marna in Wisconsin. She says, I'm very fortunate to have people like you and your teaching. Well, Marna, we are so thankful for the privilege to share God's word and the privilege to be on your local radio station to bring forth the word of God. And so we want to encourage you and everyone listening to support your local station that has Equipping the Saints, to let them know you appreciate them broadcasting Equipping the Saints and even giving a donation as led by the Lord. So thank you again, Marna.
And Greg, today we continue our look at what Scripture has to say about how we are to minister in the church.
Yes, Dave, and indeed we're going to continue to look at what is God's method for ministry. So turn with us to Colossians chapter 1, and we're looking at verses 28 to 29.
We'll be sure to stay with us for the end of today's broadcast. Greg will join us in studio with some practical application, and I'll also be back with information on how you can obtain messages from the series for your own library. Now, let's join Greg for today's teaching.
Is your focus on Christ? Have you fixed your eyes on Jesus? Are you trusting in him? Are you listening to him, obeying his word? And we proclaim him. Now, the term proclaim, kata angelo, means to give an official notice, to make an open declaration, to make an utterly open public declaration, to declare. That's what proclaim means. And the tense of this verb in Greek is in a present tense, which means it's continual, habitual proclamation. Indeed, Paul in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verse 5 would say, we do not preach ourselves, but Christ Jesus as Lord. That's who we preach. So we preach. He is our continual proclamation, our official announcement. He is what we are to make known openly and publicly and are to declare. Oh, how our evangelism would change if we would just proclaim Christ. Christ Jesus died for your sins. The King of Kings and Lord of Lords took on human flesh. He suffered and died and rose from the dead. And you can have salvation by calling upon the name of the Lord. It's about Christ. Indeed, as we study Colossians, we're also going to see we need to focus on Christ in our sanctification. Because the bad guys are going to come around with persuasive arguments. They're going to minister according to the elementary principles of the world. Philosophy, rules, regulations, angels, in contrast to proclaiming Christ. Paul didn't spend time entertaining with stories. He didn't spend his time illustrating. He continually proclaimed Christ. He didn't have a drama or dance team around him acting out the gospel. He proclaimed Christ. It's all about the proclamation of Jesus Christ. Now, there are a lot of people speaking and ministering in the name of Jesus Christ. And his name is interjected throughout tons of ministries. Yet when Paul says we proclaim him, what does he mean by that? What is the context of that proclamation? Notice what we see in verse 28. It's extremely important we understand this. And we proclaim him, and then we have two participles, ing words. The proclamation is the verb, then we have these participles that connect to the verb. We proclaim admonishing and teaching. We proclaim him admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom. So our main phrase is to proclaim him, and then the admonishing and teaching are the modifying phrases, with the last phrase modifying it all with all wisdom. So Paul's saying we continually habitually proclaim Christ, and that proclamation takes place in the context of admonishing and teaching with all wisdom. So some people proclaim Christ, but they never teach the word. They never admonish. They don't proclaim him the way he has ordained he is to be proclaimed. They just say his name. And then they do their own thing. But here, Paul says how we are to do it. Now, we'll get to the admonishing and teaching in a moment, but I want to show you this sphere in which this proclamation is made. With all wisdom. Or literally, in all wisdom. En passe sophia. Speaks of, as we'll see, the sphere of wisdom, in all wisdom. And it's been used three times already in Colossians. Well, once before and once after. In chapter 1, verse 9, to speak of all spiritual wisdom, same phrase. In chapter 3, verse 16, modifying, let the word of Christ dwell richly within you with all wisdom. And then in our passage. Now, we know from the word of God, there are only two types of wisdom. There is the wisdom from above and the wisdom from below. Look at James chapter 3. The wisdom from above has those characteristics of the Lord. The wisdom from below is earthly, natural, and demonic. We have the world's wisdom and we have God's wisdom. And certainly in this context, all spiritual wisdom is God's wisdom. And it comes in the sphere of the Spirit. And we'll see that's in which the sphere of the Word of God comes. The Spirit-inspired Word. And indeed, where do we find God's wisdom? Where do we find it? We have to start with a relationship with Him, first of all. Proverbs 9:10, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. You're never going to find God's wisdom unless you come into a relationship with Him. And then if you have a relationship to him, you can now choose to make your ears attentive to his wisdom. We know in Proverbs chapter 2, for the Lord gives wisdom, from his mouth come knowledge and understanding. Wisdom comes from the Lord. It is his word. Turn to 1 Corinthians chapter 2. Now the apostle Paul is dealing with the Corinthian church, which has got a wisdom problem. They were all into wisdom before they got saved, and then they got all sidetracked on exalting people. I'm of this and I'm of that, rather than the Lord Jesus Christ, because those who are serving are nothing, but it's the Lord that causes the growth. And so he's got to say to them, hey, I'm nothing, and when I came to you, I'm nothing, but God did something, and he did it through his wisdom in his word. This should be seminary 101 for preaching. 1 Corinthians 2:1. And when I came to you, brethren, I did not come with superior speech or of wisdom proclaiming you the testimony of God. Hey, I didn't come with superior speech. I was not a superior talker. You know, when anyone comes to me, and I've had this happen before, and they talk about preaching, say, I really want to preach, I'm a very good speaker. I go, ooh, God's going to have to deal with that part, right? Because if it's you, you're in trouble. The Lord takes the weak things. And he glorifies himself through those. Can't mean he can't use that, but it's got to be completely submitted to him and all him, not you. And so he says here, I did not come with superior speech or wisdom proclaiming you the testimony of God. For I determined to know nothing among you except Jesus Christ and him crucified. It's all about Jesus, right? And I was with you in weakness and in fear and much trembling. And he says here, and my message and my preaching were not in persuasive words of wisdom, that would be man's wisdom, but in demonstration of the Spirit and of power, that your faith should not rest on the wisdom of men. A lot of churches, people's faith rests on the wisdom of men. They got to go get filled every week with that because it leaks out so quick because it's worthless. He says here, with the wisdom of men, but on the power of God. Yet we do speak wisdom. He's going to say, hey, it's not man's wisdom. It's a different type of wisdom. We speak wisdom among those who are mature. A wisdom, however, not of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are passing away. But we speak what? God's wisdom. That's what he speaks. In a mystery, the hidden wisdom which God predestined before the ages to our glory. The wisdom which none of the rulers of this age has understood, for if they had understood it, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But just as it is written, things now. People say this, they go, this is what we're going to see in heaven. Well, actually he's going to say, hey, you get to have it now. Listen to this. Things which I had not seen, ear had not heard. This is from God. You couldn't see it, you couldn't hear it. All right, it's from God. And have not entered the heart of man. All that God has prepared for those who love him, right? For to us, God revealed them. This is his wisdom, which no one could think it up, hear it, or understand it. They've never heard it or seen it. God prepared it, and he revealed it to us. For to us, he revealed them through the Spirit. For the Spirit searches all things, even the depths of God. For whom has known the thoughts of a man except the spirit of a man which is in him? Even so, the thoughts of God no one knows. You say, I know what God's thinking. Oh, you really do? No, you don't. He says here, no one knows but the Spirit, except the Spirit of God. And then verse 12, now we have received not the Spirit of the world, but the Spirit is from God. So the Spirit of God that knows the thoughts of God reveals the truth of God to us. It says here, Spirit is from God that we might what? We might know the things freely given to us by God. We have his Spirit that we would know his word. Okay? Which things, he says, we also speak. Remember he said we speak God's wisdom earlier? He says here, not in words taught by human wisdom, but in those taught by the Spirit, combining spiritual thoughts and spiritual words. But a natural man, that's a non-believer, doesn't accept the things of the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them, because they are spiritually appraised. But he who is spiritual appraises all things, yet he himself is appraised by no man. For who has known the mind of the Lord that he should instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. We have the truth of God that was hidden and revealed. We have his thoughts, his word brought forth that he wants us to know. You see, we have the Spirit of God within us and the mind of Christ revealed in the word. And God has revealed it to us. And guess what? Colossians 2:3 states that in him are all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. It is in Christ. So then, what's the point? It is through the word of God that we receive spiritual wisdom in all spiritual. We proclaim him in the sphere of all spiritual wisdom. That's God's word. We don't proclaim a Jesus from our emotions and our experience. We proclaim a Jesus from the word of God. So we have this incredible reality that we proclaim him from the living word, the written word in all spiritual wisdom. Sadly, so many churches proclaim Jesus, yet they don't fully proclaim him from the word. They mix God's wisdom with man's wisdom. Yet Paul proclaimed him with or in the sphere of all wisdom. That's God's wisdom from the word. Indeed, we see Paul proclaimed Christ from the scriptures. Acts 17:2, and according to Paul's custom, he went to them on the Sabbath. He reasoned with them from the scriptures, explaining and giving evidence that the Christ had to suffer and rise again from the dead, saying, this Jesus whom I'm proclaiming to you is the Christ. It was from the scriptures. We know Jesus explained the things concerning himself in all the scriptures. The term scripture means written word. We are to preach the word. I read this earlier. We're to preach the word. Paul tells Timothy in his final letter before he's going to go to the Lord, he says, I solemnly charge you in the presence of God and of Christ Jesus, who is to judge the living and the dead by his appearing in his kingdom. Boy, that's pretty serious. Preach the word. And he just shared earlier to him that all scripture is inspired by God, that you know the sacred writings, you know who you received them from, which are able to give you the knowledge that leads to salvation through faith in Christ. We're to preach the word. How arrogant for anyone to do anything else. How arrogant and evil for pastors to share Christ from anything other than the word of God. We proclaim him in all wisdom, the sphere of all wisdom. Paul said earlier in the end of verse 25 in chapter 1, that I might fully carrying out the preaching of what? The word of God. The preaching of the word of God. You see, true ministry, the message is Christ from the word of God, whom we proclaim in the sphere of all spiritual wisdom. Have you bought into the latest message church is propagating these days? So many people speak of Jesus and yet do not proclaim him faithfully from their word. Throughout the church, we have a human message of man with man's felt needs, with a loving, unjudgmental Jesus to fill those needs. That has replaced the true, unadulterated message of Christ revealed in the Word of God. How ironic. So many churches speak of Jesus so much and yet do not faithfully proclaim him through his word. What a satanic twist. God's word traded out for the wisdom from below with Jesus' name attached. The Lord Jesus would say this about those who were seen as prophets, but they were false prophets. He would say it through his word, through his prophet, Jeremiah. The Lord would share it. Jeremiah 23:21, he says, I did not send these prophets, but they ran. I did not speak to them, but they prophesied. But if they had stood in my counsel, they would have announced my words to my people. These pastors, if they are God's pastors, they're going to announce God's word to God's people, not their word to the devil's people. And they would have turned them back from their evil way and from the evil of their deeds. The message of true ministry is revealed from the word of God and is concerning Christ. Now, I mentioned when I started about all those different types of churches, worshiping churches, evangelistic churches, community churches, liturgical churches, outreach churches, teaching churches. I was taught not to be judgmental about that, okay? But is it biblical? Well, the reality is God's word reveals the method and the right type of church. First of all, we've seen the message, which is Christ. Now notice the method back in our passage. And we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's the method of ministry. And it's pretty darn simple. It's pretty darn simple. Not to do it. It's much work. The Lord to do it through us, but what it says here is pretty plain, pretty clear. Now, did you notice something when I read that verse, something repeated three times? Every man. Every man. It's not a teaching church for a few that like that, and then a worshiping church for a few that like that. This is for every person. Every man. The entire church of the redeemed. For everyone. And we proclaim him admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. That's why we don't want to divide the church up to the contemporary and the regular services to have the stuff that makes the young guys happy and the old people happy, whatever it might be. It needs, every person needs to hear the word of God. These principles apply to every man. And as we begin this ministry here, we need to know what we are to do. We need to know how we are to do it together, how we are to support the ministry, differing gifts functioning together as the body under the head, Jesus Christ, to bring about what his desire and will is as revealed in his word. So then this is how the church is to function. This is what we are to be doing or have done. We should either be proclaiming Christ through his word, admonishing, teaching, as we'll see, or we should be having Christ proclaimed to us, being admonished and taught. Okay? Either one of those. That's what it should be. Now, regardless of how nice the pastor is and how much they feed the poor and evangelize us, I always hear this, he's such a nice man. He's such a nice man. He loves the Lord so much. I listen to the sermon, I go, he doesn't love the Lord at all. He doesn't love him because he doesn't obey him. Jesus said, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. Pastors that do not primarily proclaim Christ through his word completely to all are not the Lord's pastors. Those who substitute worship, outreach, evangelism, those secondary realities, they're part of it, but the secondary, substitute that for the faithful preaching of the word and make it primary. These churches are not functioning in accordance with scripture. They are being disobedient and being led by those in disobedience. So then, sadly, we see this throughout these days. Now, we can have churches that are on the other side that proclaim a lot of the word, but they don't proclaim Christ. There's some Reformed side churches, even some MacArthur type churches, not all, but some that proclaim the word, but Christ isn't proclaimed. Christ isn't the focus. You see, because if it's divided rightly, it's going to point to Jesus Christ. It's going to point to Christ. Remember what Jesus said. He said it in John 5:39, you search the scriptures because in them you think you have eternal life. But these are those that bear witness of me. They bear witness of Jesus Christ. So back to our passage, Paul says, and we proclaim him, admonishing every man and teaching every man with all wisdom that we may present every man complete in Christ. The proclamation of Christ is not secondary, it is primary, and it is for everyone, not just a few. Now, there's nothing new under the sun, nothing has changed. So-called church continues to do what is right in its own eyes. Later on, we're going to see in chapter 2, Paul contrasting the proclamation of Christ with those who function according to the tradition of man, according to the elementary principles of the world, rather than according to Christ. So that quote-unquote, Colossians 2:8. Instead of according to Christ, they do it according to the world's ways. What a shame. And you don't want to be taken as a kidnapped victim. You don't want to be kidnapped. The word, we'll see it in chapter 2, being kidnapped, spiritually kidnapped by these people. They come in and kidnap you, first of all, through your own desires because you want your ears tickled. But you get kidnapped spiritually rather than according to Christ, being a church that preaches him. If you're in a church that doesn't proclaim Christ from his word, admonishing and teaching, as we will see, if your church doesn't do this, you're in a bad church. In a church that is disobedient. We have false teachers or disobedient pastors at best who have missed the focus of true ministry and substituted their own or the world's wisdom. Well, he said, Christ is to be proclaimed, admonishing and teaching every man. And by the way, this is the role of godly pastors. Turn to Ephesians chapter 4. This is the role. Proclaiming him, and it's for every man. You say, what about the women? It's mankind, right? Men and women. Ephesians 4:11, and he gave some as apostles, and some as prophets, and some as evangelists, and some as pastors and teachers. For what? The equipping of some of the saints. No, the equipping of the saints. For the work of service to the building up of part of the body of Christ. No, to the building of the body of Christ. Until we, what? All attain the unity of the faith and the knowledge of the Son of God. It's about Jesus, isn't it? To a mature man, to the measure of the stature which belongs to the fullness of Christ. We proclaim him. And notice, there's a method to it. There's a method to this proclamation. Remember those two ing words I spoke to you earlier of? We proclaim him, admonishing and teaching. Notice the first of all, we proclaim him in the context, admonishing with all wisdom. It's God's word. That's what's being used. Now, this term admonishment is in the present tense, speaks of a continual habitual action. It comes from the Greek word noutheteo. Nous means to mind. Theteo means to put into the mind. Now, nous antithemi, it speaks of giving instructions concerning belief or behavior. It carries the idea sometimes of warning, admonishing, instructing, and some say in a kindly manner. It's kind of interesting because we think of admonishment like, you better do that, right? We think of this forceful word, right? Well, I don't think it's that forceful. I think the reality is it's a warning. It's a warning. We see the Lord admonishing very graciously many times. We're going to see it.
If you've just joined us, you've been listening to Equipping the Saints with Greg Lundstedt. You can hear today's message again by visiting our website, etsradio.org. That's etsradio.org. CDs of today's message or other messages are available at our website as well. And as a part of the ministry of Equipping the Saints, all our audio resources are available at no cost to you, thanks to the Lord's provision through the faithful support of friends of this broadcast. To order your complimentary CD, call us toll-free, 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. If you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Greg, you mentioned from our passage that these principles we've seen today apply to every man in the context of how the church functions.
Yes, Dave, as we've seen, the method of true biblical ministry is Christ proclaimed from his word. And sadly, friends, I need to say this again. The truth is, regardless how nice pastors are, how much they feed the poor or evangelize the lost, churches and pastors that do not primarily proclaim Christ through his word faithfully and completely to all, churches that substitute worship and outreach and service and evangelism, the secondary realities that stem from the faithful teaching of the word, and then make them primary, these churches are not functioning in accordance with Scripture. They are in disobedience. Well, brothers and sisters, we have no excuse for not understanding what the true biblical method of ministry is.
As we close today's broadcast, it's our prayer that the Word of God has done its work in your life and that you've been challenged and encouraged to follow Christ more closely. If you'd like a complimentary CD of today's broadcast, call us toll-free at 1-800-596-9144. That's 800-596-9144. And if you prefer to request your complimentary CD by email, our email address is contact@etsradio.org. Well, we hope you'll make plans to join us again tomorrow, right here for another edition of Equipping the Saints. Equipping the Saints is a broadcast ministry of Equipping Bible Church.